the neo-post-apocalyptic wasteland, the last video store on Earth still spreads the lost art of cinema. But during the month of October, its employees and some special guests shine a spotlight on horror! Welcome to the Apocalypse Video Shocktober Spooktacular, Part 2. Part man, part zombie, all maniac. Be sure to have your license and registration. It's Maniac Cop 2.
You have the right to remain silent.
He's still alive.
Forever. Again.
You can't kill the dead.
Why has this been kept from the public and the press?
When this leaks out, people are not going to want to pick up the phone and dial 911. We're looking at a bloodbath here.
We got ourselves a serial killer.
I touched his hand, and I was back there again, with the dead.
What do you want? I don't know! Freeze up!
What'd you see?
Sean, I saw Matt Cordell.
He had a reason for coming here. He's got a reason for everything he does.
Did you ever see anything so nasty?
Cordell's gonna pay you a visit, and you'll see him.
He must be visiting!
Getting stronger because we got ourselves a leader.
All the cops in the world can't stop Cordell.
You murdered him. You're pushing me too far.
Maniac Cop 2. You'll be screaming blue murder.
Welcome to another episode of the Apocalypse Video Shocktober Spooktacular. I'm your host, David. I'm joined again by my other ghouls and criminal offenders, Ryan.
Water!
Sorry.
Michael.
Cordell!
Nicholas Goathoof.
Cordell.
You guys couldn't see it, but like Nick was like slowly leaning towards the mic, like
guess.
And returning from the wasteland, Cody.
There's only that much difference between a cop and a maniac cop.
That's the maniac cop.
Well, Maniac Cop 2. So, a little background. Cody and I think you and I watched this, like, what, a year or two ago? We watched the first one a year or two ago.
Yeah, we watched Maniac Cop 1.
Oh.
And my memory of Maniac Cop 1 was that it was a fun, fairly breezy movie with some horror elements, like a zombie cop, more or less. It had Bruce Campbell throughout the whole thing. It had Bruce Campbell's energy, you know, he's getting thrown around, and the first movie has a spectacular, which we see in the beginning of Maniac Cop 2 in the recap previously on Maniac Cop. You see Bruce Campbell, he's not obviously not the person doing the stunt, but you see him getting thrown around, and it ends, the movie concludes with this spectacular stunt of this police van flying off this pier while this guy is holding on to like the outside of the driver's side door, and he jumps off as it flies off. It's this spectacular stunt that opens the movie.
Dave, I wanted to ask. This is Mike here, Officer Cordell.
Whoa, Officer Cordell!
So that first scene we see in Maniac Cop 2. I've not seen Maniac Cop 1. Is that literally just the last scene?
That's the last, yeah.
Oh, there's one thing that they don't show.
You know it's a good movie when it starts that, like that.
There's one scene. So the thing, I don't know, I guess it just they didn't want to use all the time, but they show up the car getting pulled out and them looking in it, and then it's the maniac cop is not there, so they don't show that part. But that, yeah, that is essentially the last.
And you
scene.
See like a white gloved hand emerge from the water, like oh, he's alive. They don't show you that, but I think it is the right instinct to open with that spectacular stunt because honestly, I don't think Maniac Cop 2 has that much. Well. There's a couple stuff. Things. There's a couple of good moments, but overall, I think it is severely lacking in comparison to the original Maniac Cop.
So, what prompted you guys to watch the Maniac Cop the first time? Was it because of Bruce Campbell? Because I was really surprised to see him in this, and I was like, oh, fuck, hell yeah. And then I was like, oh. And
no, I believe Maniac we watched too. It for Shocktober last year. Just, you know, a nice around-the-shop Shocktober. One that didn't need to be recorded, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah,
it was for us, man.
Yeah.
Sometimes we gotta have some spooks for us, you know?
Yeah, very spooky. Very spooky.
Well, what about the rest of you guys? Do you have any history or knowledge of the Maniac Cops other than the real life ones?
I gotta say, the like critical consensus, if there is such a thing for a movie like this, it looks like it is that it's better than the first one. Like, check That's this out. Thought. Check out this quote, and tell me if you think this is the movie we all saw. Variety. This is a quote from Variety. Maniac Cop 2 is a thinking man's exploitation film, improving on the 1988 original.
Yeah, my experience with Maniac Cop 2 in particular, even before seeing Maniac Cop 1, is I've had this... It's like a Bible to me, really. It's Fangoria's 101 Horror Movies to See Before You Die. It is an old, musty tome. The pages are burnt from fireside on the wastes. And Maniac Cop 2 has been in there. It's one of the 101 movies to see. And I've been like, that's crazy. And it has Bruce Campbell in it. I can't wait. I'll watch it someday in the future.
It does technically have Bruce Campbell.
It does technically have him. He's in it for the first couple scenes.
He legally is in this movie.
So why is that?
Required to say he's in it.
Why is this movie on that list, do you think? Or does it say?
I truly have no idea. I think it has to do with... I think it has to do with like the kind of size of some of the effects and what they do.
There are a couple moments this movie goes really hard.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Bruce Campbell. Bruce Campbell, the thing in his throat. I mean, spoilers, he dies. And the impale through the newspaper is a fun bit.
I guess if there's anything I could say that's unique about this movie, like I would say this would fall into like an action horror movie, if anything.
It's kind of like very much like the beats remind me of RoboCop, like post transformation to RoboCop, like, you know, when that montage in RoboCop where he's just going out being RoboCop is basically like this whole movie kind
of a little bit. Yeah
I do think, I feel like this is just my personal take, but I think the Maniac Cop 2, it, I don't know, obviously every movie that has a sequel tries to be better than its predecessor, but this one, I don't know why, but it feels to me like I can feel it trying to be better. But I think I do, like, I think, seems like David's kind of in the same camp. I like the first one a little bit better. I think that this one does go hard in a couple times. There's a crazy stunt where this person is, the woman is hanging off the side of the car.
Oh yeah.
Kind of again, insane. But it's for extended period of time. That's pretty cool. Pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
And it's not like usually with B movies, like this, like they can do a cool stunt, but it's severely limited, like in size and scope and time that you see the stunt. This goes on for an extended period of time, so much, and it doesn't look cheap. There is like sparks flying out, and I'm like, it looks dangerous. They sell the danger,
and there's other cars coming towards them, so it's, you know, it's not like in a little closed area.
I honestly, there was a part of that scene that I kind of I feel like I hadn't seen before, which is they showed the tire just on the rims, you know, and you see all the sparks, but they really focus on it just being rims. And I was like, man, I don't know if I've ever seen people drive stunt cars, just rims, you know, shooting sparks everywhere. And
it's
a quick correction.
Lot of sparks.
The Fangoria book isn't to see before you die. It is the 101 best horror movies you've never seen. So that is why that movie's on the list, because nobody's seen it.
I just want to say, and Hot Dave's Fun Summer Film Fest, Speed, the bus you see drive on the rims for a little bit.
This is before that, though, you know?
Yeah, I mean, Speed really took a lot from Maniac Cop 2.
Yeah. Maniac Cop 2 walked so Speed could run. Yeah. Everyone knows that.
So Speed
could
speed.
To be fair, Dennis Hopper's villain in Speed is a Maniac Cop.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Former Maniac Cop.
Yeah. And I was going to say, I found that list too, and Maniac Cop is number 59 of that 101.
That's pretty high.
What's number one?
I was saying it's 58 is Maniac, and which is kind of funny. I think it's actually it's an alphabetical order. I see it. This is not alphabetical. Oh, yeah, alphabetical. Shit. Never mind. Never mind. What kind of ranking is this? Is it ranked?
It's not numbered. It's just like alphabetical. They're all good. They're all worthy. You know.
They should be. Should be in order.
You're like they should be a fucking list.
Anyway, there's a Manhunter on here. It's pretty cool.
How about that Maniac Cop 2?
Well, Maniac Cop 2, this is, I think, my big takeaway, which I think is interesting, and I think the reason why I don't like it as much is because in the first one, there is this sense of mystery where we don't know who this cop is. And
what's, like, the plot of the first one, like, generally?
It's just a maniac cop, and they don't know who's killing people.
Just a maniac cop.
Well, there's a big element of the first movie with Bruce Campbell is that he's framed as being the maniac cop when he's not. He fits, like, the profile of who the maniac cop could be. Cop who has, like, some, like, emotional problems or problems at home or something like that. He's out at night. Like, he fits, like, the profile.
So in this one, the maniac cop, too, is straight up like a creature, like a zombie cop.
So
in Maniac Cop 1, is it like a...
So in Maniac Cop 1, there is an element of not only who is it, but how is it. So Maniac Cop 1, there's a cop, you know, a woman starts out, a woman's like being attacked. She runs to a police officer. She's like, oh, help me. And then he snaps her neck and you're like, oh my God, this guy's crazy. And as they go on, they link him to, oh, this Officer Matt Cordell. They find out that he died in prison. But when the prison warden doctor was doing an autopsy, there was a faint sign of life. And he was just like, eh, fuck it, and sent it along anyways. And so he was kind of a zombie-esque thing, but he was alive, right? It was like he was also slightly undead in the first one as well.
Did he talk?
It kind of walks the line between, in the first one, is he a zombie or is he just like this bulky, almost dead guy or something? Sort of walks the line a little bit. He certainly has more facial, expression and life to his face than he does in this one. In this one, he just has like this goofy looking zombie face.
Well, in this one, it seemed like they were just using probably a bunch of different stuntmen to play the role because you barely ever, you just see like back shots or like obscure shots of him. It's kind of like one of the things thing I didn't like about the movie is you like barely see the maniac cop.
You see his face a lot in the first movie, and it looks more like a real face that has like cuts on it. Well, whereas this one, his face looks like a Muppet or something.
This is what I kind of don't get why the movie did this. Like the movie in this one, Maniac Cop 2, is still hiding the maniac cop, but we know who he is this time. So why are they like they doing the same shots? Like it does kind of it's weird.
It's weird that they do that in the first half or the first third and then transition to we're following Maniac Cop around as he becomes friends with.
That was bizarre.
It's so weird. Like you mentioned, it leans more into a horror action movie, because it is just kind of like actiony, not as much horror-y. But it is still weird to be like we're spending so much time with Maniac Cop who seems to be this kind of, this like voiceless, mindless killing machine. Hanging out with the stripper strangler, and
in his weird apartment.
And it's just so weird because
it's like under a bridge or something.
Yeah, he lives like in a furnace, basically.
Yeah, that apartment is $4,000 a month now.
Yeah, no doubt. But back in the day, you could just strangle strippers for God, and you'd be able to pay for it. It's another aspect of this movie that makes it really weird to be like, is this guy? Is Maniac Cop and Maniac Cop 2 supposed to be a heroic figure, or is he fully bad? Because in the first one, I feel like they don't hit on the idea that there was a corrupt thing, that's why he ended up being railroaded. Like, he's railroaded to jail, but we don't know why, and he comes back and he's just a murder machine. In this one, they make it sound more like he was a good cop who then got done dirty, and now he kills everybody, and then he's like, in the beginning, he kills the clerk, doesn't kill the bad guy, and then doesn't kill any cops. And then the next scene, he kills the cop and doesn't kill the bad criminal. It's very inconsistent.
Like, I don't know what his motivation is.
It makes no sense. Like, and then the other thing, too, is that this, and this is the other reason I liked the first one. Because, I mean, these two movies, again, there's a third one. I haven't seen it. But they never go out. They never go out of their way to, like, you know, really go hard with, like, you know, cops are kind of shitty. This one does that a little bit at the end when they have that cool line.
There's a piece of Cordell in every cop. Every time arresting some mutt isn't enough, because we know they'll be back on the streets before we even do the paperwork. Every time we pull a trigger, and it feels good, because that's something the lawyers can't reverse. It all comes down to justice and pressure. There's only that much difference between a cop and a maniac cop.
But at very least in the first one, they do make a point to reference that Mike Cordell, the maniac cop, he was really aggressive, and he was trigger happy, and he was like an abusive cop. And that's the way I understood it in the first one, that this is why he got locked up, because it went too far one time, whatever. And he just couldn't get away with it. But now this movie is like, oh, he's actually a good cop, you know? Just like,
it's a classic horror movie trope where in the second movie, the villain becomes an anti-hero.
Well, that's what I was hoping that he was going to team up with or something, but he never, it's like teaming up with like this, a stripper strangler. I don't know. It was something I was expecting. Yeah, I was expecting him to be like, come with me if you want to live, you know, kind of thing.
But this movie is so like, it feels really half-baked in a weird way. Like, because they have this other stuff, like in the beginning, they have this, there's cops that are supposed to go to the psychologist, right, to determine if they're fit for duty. And the main cop, Robert Davi. It turns out he convinced his partner to not go to a psychologist
because it's for pussies.
Yeah, it's for. It's
I
for
was
babies.
when I was seeing this, I was like, oh no, is there like a Scientology connection to this movie or something?
And the
what?
it's so like anti. There was like when it was being like anti psychologist because I know
that's just the 90s.
That's just classic. Well, it's just classic cop behavior.
I don't buy any of the psychology stuff. I think you're all full of shit, so you can take your Carl Jung and Sigmund Freud and shove them up your ass. Just to clear up matters. I talked Joe Minnelli into canceling that appointment with you. And I don't feel guilty about it.
How could you feel guilty? You're a cop.
So are you.
It is very weird that our heroic cop, because our two leads from the first movie die pretty early, and then our new leads are two new cops, and it's weird that one of them is, he's portrayed not as like a dirty or bad cop, he's portrayed as a typical cop, and as a typical cop, he is a total piece of shit, and talks about like, oh, my wife left me because the psychiatrist told her, it was typical cop wife bullshit, which means he's just an abusive piece of shit at home, and it's like, okay, this guy actively sucks ass, but the movie doesn't go all the way to be that way.
It does that too, and then this is this like kind of puzzles me. Is like, because we do find out that he convinced his partner to not go, and the partner ended up killing himself like the next day.
I told him not to go, and I don't regret it.
And it feels like the only reason this is in the story is to show that he's an asshole. Yeah. Like, I don't understand why. There's a lot of stuff in this that this movie does. I'm like, why are you doing this? What is going on here?
Well, it's so bizarre. I guess like the opening scene of this movie. Well, putting aside the previously on Maniac Cop, the real opening scene of this movie is this convenience store robbery where this guy comes in with a shotgun. The clerk doesn't have any money, so he's like, "All right, scratch, give me some scratching tickets or whatever."
Guy with maybe the dirtiest teeth I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, comically so.
But only just ahead of the stripper strangler, because the stripper strangler also has the bad front teeth. It's very weird that they do both of their mouths like that.
I will say, this movie does gnarly teeth really well.
Well, because like, I feel like this movie is setting something up, like, oh, it's a switch or something. Like, he's going to team up with other bad guys. Because he comes in, he shoots the clerk, but he doesn't shoot the guy robbing him. He, like, actually gives him his gun back, and he's like,
Well, no, he gives him his gun to get Because so he gets framed for the.
Yeah, I think. Oh, I think this is a classic like Joker just wanting to watch the world burn type of.
Well, thing. That's, the cops. That
okay, but
the
Dave's making a better
again.
Movie. We're doing the same thing we did with Ghoulies 2, where and he should have been recruiting bad guys from the beginning.
Yes,
and making
to
a
form
super
a
squad.
Legion of Doom.
Yeah.
Does that happen in Ghoulies 2? They were like. They were,
we don't have the
no,
time.
We,
to
no,
get
we
into
were just
Ghoulies
we were just making better movies.
We were, yeah.
So Dave's...
nothing happens in Ghoulies yeah. 2.
But it's interesting, Cody. When you actually nailed on another a famous sequel horror trope that these movies do a lot. Immediately kill off the people from the first movie. The heroes from the first movie. Nope, they're not coming.
Well,
all right, they're back for 5 minutes.
Even in it.
Screw
like,
them,
usually they just it just they wouldn't yeah. see them.
Usually
you know?
They're not around.
Usually, yeah.
usually they're not in the movie. Yeah,
yeah. He showed up. At least Bruce Campbell showed up to get killed.
Well, that, yeah, I guess that's like a courtesy that they do. Like you said, usually they're just killed off screen. They're like, oh, so-and-so died in a fire. But no, they bring Bruce Campbell and I forget her name back. And Bruce Campbell dies pretty violently. He gets his sword like stuck through his neck or something.
But, you know, I think it's even weirder because they get a couple scenes. Like both mm-hmm. of these leads from
yeah.
the beginning are
oh,
like,
you're right. yeah, they,
they're really
they
in
they
the movie.
With- They meet with the psychologist or whatever.
They meet with the psychologist. They meet with the police commissioner. They meet individually. They go off yeah. and do individual things themselves. Then Bruce Campbell is killed. Then her name is, it's, oh, what is it? It's Lauren Landon, I think. Lauren Landon is Teresa. She goes off and has a scene with the psychologist, with Susan Riley. And so it's weird that they're in as much of the movie as they are. And then we have to switch protagonists halfway through. And we don't really yeah. get a full view of, like, one of them. We're just like, okay, guy's a really shitty person. Not even a dirty, crooked cop. Just a shitty person. And then the psychologist is like, well, now I do believe her. It really is Matt Cordell. It's strange. It's really weird. Like,
well, this
like,
movie,
like you said, half-baked in a big way.
This movie, I think, really misses that narrative thrust of the first movie of, like, Bruce Campbell's framed, and now we got to prove his innocence, and, like, oh, we got to do it quick before, like, Cordell comes and kills us, and they got to, like, what happened to Cordell? Like, there's a mystery angle. It feels like it's moving forward at all times, whereas Maniac Cop 2, it's like, you're just left trying to figure out why Cordell is doing it this way this time.
The plot of this really is... just like, what if there was a maniac cop?
It's, but I like, the whole stripper angle, I was just like, where is this movie going with this? And then, like, he busts through the window as the stripper killer is trying to kill a stripper, and then he immediately starts choking the girl. I'm just like, what is happening?
What is this? Well, there's something else that I think it ties into what Dave was saying with a lack of a narrative thrust, and I think that this movie, like I said, the first one was kind of cool because, you know, there was a mystery of who the cop was. And in this one, there is kind of a mystery. It's that the police chief or whatever the guy is involved with a scandal in sending Cordell away. But they don't do a good job of alluding that something actually happened until the very end, because the chief, every time they just bring up Cordell, he's just like, no, no, no. And that, yeah. that's all you get. And that, like, somehow you're supposed to, I guess you're supposed to kind of know, oh, this guy's kind of fishy. But nothing from the first movie suggested that happened. So how could you know? And if you're just watching this fresh, like, Mike, did you have a suspicion this guy was a corrupt police official? Aside from
I thought it was just like the cops don't want, like, bad PR.
So yeah, exactly. That's what I thought, killing. Too.
Well, I knew who's bad because he's the mayor in Godzilla, and he's
that's true. Not only is he bad, he's also like bad at his job. He's inefficient. So
he's in all those Coen Brothers movies. He's always like a bumbling asshole.
Well, he doesn't have. See, the problem is in this, he doesn't have his assistant Gene to feed him candy to like calm him down. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. What the hell is the matter with you people? You've caused more damage than that goddamn thing did.
All right, Mayor, calm down. Just have some candy.
No, I don't want any candy. Leave me alone.
You can tell. Just yeah.
I thought I had while watching this is it is very it feels, unless the movie's really figured out what it is, it feels tough to watch movies where quote unquote typical cops are the protagonists. Like, knowing just how across the board as our quote unquote hero in this movie says at the end of the movie, it's a very thin line between cops and maniac cops. It's tough to be like, okay, this guy is a typical cop and he's the hero, and not either like we don't see him as totally good, or we don't see him as completely corrupt, and we just know, oh, this is like The Departed, right? You're watching The Departed, and everybody's a fucking crook, so you're into it. You're like, yeah, they're all, I get it. I get the vibe of these. It is weird to have a guy who is so antagonistic to everybody and admits to being a piece of shit and is just an unlikable bad guy. And then halfway through, he's like, I'm the one who's going to save it. And it's because I'm going to interrogate the police commissioner in my car, expose a bunch of things that nobody that didn't come up in the movie previously. I'm just saying that you did this, right? It's because you got too close. And he's like, yeah, so I admit it. It's just weird. It's just fucking. It's tough to watch.
He's like our lead character. Well, kind of our lead character, but I don't feel like he's in the movie enough. Robert Davi just sort of randomly appears. It doesn't feel like he's really following the case.
It's because that like first third or so when you have Bruce Campbell like still in the movie. And you just assume he's like.
It seems like it's going to be the psychologist and the cop from the previous movie, right. Bruce Campbell's like girlfriend or whatever,
Teresa.
He's a little just like what's the word? Just like whenever he was on, it was like quiet. Like the movie just was just like this really kind of like I don't know. Like
he's in a different movie.
There's just energy, like a lack of energy. I think.
McKinney, you okay?
Never better.
We were covering the front.
That's why I came around back.
The badger didn't kill him.
Yeah, too much fucking paperwork.
He was a black hole of energy. When he's in the screen, the whole movie comes down. There's even a scene like I think they're in the strip club, and you're like, this isn't even as loud and boisterous as the last scene in the strip club was. It feels like when he's in it, it's like, no, this is serious. But when he's not in it, it's like Maniac Cop just grabbed a random auto machine gun and starts blowing people away. And
can
it's
we
so
say
strange.
Talking about the club Club 69? I believe is the name.
Classic.
The announcer of the club. I don't know if our producers can put in some audio here.
Oh, boys, look at this Blondie. Isn't she beautiful? Take him out, Blondie. Take him out. Let him breathe. Oh, boys, aren't they lovely? Baby. And on the other side, he has Red. Take him out, Red. Let him breathe, too. And be generous, boys, with that cash, because these girls are dancing here just for you. Oh, let's have a round of applause for these two lovely young ladies. And don't forget, they'll be back later, boys. We're open 24 hours. Don't go nowhere. Hang around.
That announcer, like, needs to shut up. Like he's like welcome to the stage, Cheryl. Cheryl, how about Cheryl? Huh? Ooh, yeah.
Well,
Cheryl.
He had the wrong energy for Cheryl. A strip club. Like when you think strip club, you think it's going to be something like, "Hey guys, welcome to the stage, Cherry." Like
he just keeps going like as
well,
she's
it's
like
the
dancing
wrong voice,
just like,
too.
"Yeah, Cheryl."
I didn't mind. Right. I actually kind of liked that he was like, "Come on, fellas, give him a hand." I'm like, "Yeah, you should encourage the audience."
Yeah, I bet you in different
he's
places.
Not even he like throws one line about that, but it's mostly him just being like, yeah, oh, yeah. Like it's too much of just like, I don't know, it's weird.
I bet you in those weird strip clubs you see like outside of like Payson or like that, you know, like it's just, yeah.
Payson, Arizona, listeners, a small town in the before times.
Just they're probably like that, a little bit more like, what's this guy's deal? Like he's kinda like,
what's this guy's deal? Like
he's so the one, like, he's the one guy in town that gets cocaine and gives it to everybody else.
Yeah.
So this movie, from what I understand, it's just like looking, you know, we mentioned the Fangoria 100 films you've never seen that you need to, whatever. Like, I feel like when this movie is discussed online, like most people tend to bring up the massacre at the police station and like the car chase. Like those are kind of like the two and the end Sing Sing when he gets put on fire. Like, and those are like, okay scenes, but this police massacre scene specifically is touted seemingly as like it's on par with the thing in the Terminator when he like, you know, storms like the police station in the first Terminator. I'm like,
I don't know. I thought it was pretty brutal. Like, I think that whole, I let him coming through in the, from the dark of the target practice.
That was a very cool beat.
Yeah, that was a cool intro. But after that, it's just him walking through like a zombie, like through all the various glass windows and shooting
people.
I
almost wish he's not zombie enough for me. I feel like he needs to be more like a, you know, Jason. Like he's a little bit like, he's a little fast to me. I don't know. You know what I mean? He's a little bit like quick. And I think he should be more like, you know, just lumbering.
I mean, there should be more scenes of like, I think we get it for like a second with the chainsaw, but there should be more scenes of like things like a knife or something like thunking in him and he's unfazed. Kind of.
Well, there's, you know, and to speak to the chainsaw, when Teresa like tries to like kill him with it, he just grabs it with his bare hand, his gloved hand, and just holds it and throws it. Like, we need more stuff like that to make this movie fun.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was thinking when they busted out a chainsaw, I'm like, okay, this movie's ramping up. You know, these kills are going to get crazy.
From a chainsaw display of a guy holding a chainsaw.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. Doing the Ghoulies 2, we're making a better movie.
Yeah. And it doesn't match that energy. I mean, it doesn't consistently match that energy. Because I will say the climax with fire, that was badass. Love
that was a crazy looking stunt, you know, like those guys coming out, flying out the wall of the
building. Was pretty cool. Yeah, there's just not enough of that. It just doesn't have the energy of the first movie. But I will say this, in all fairness to the police station massacre scene, when he throws that guy and he flies through multiple like partitions in the office,
fucking Dragon Ball
that was
Z.
Pretty cool. Like, honestly, when this scene started, I was thinking, ooh, is this going to be like a repeat of the Malignant police station massacre? Or is it just going to get so insane? And it almost reaches there with that like zombie throw.
Imagine if the Malignant police scene that everyone went goo goo gaga over was actually just fully ripped from Maniac Cop 2.
there's a lot of these police station, thinking about it, these police station massacres and stuff.
Yeah.
At first,
wish fulfillment.
At first I was kind of like, this is ridiculous. All these cops are running scared. They're not pulling out guns. But then as halfway through, like, just random dudes behind desks are like, it gave me that, I guess. Because at first they're all surprised, like, what the fuck's happening? And then every cop who's just like, I'm just filing paperwork, but my gun's out. And, you know, it was funny.
In First Blood, does he go through a police station in that too?
Oh, well, he escapes a police station. He like breaks the nose of a guy as he's leaving, and he kicks.
Okay, he doesn't like take out like 18 guys.
There's no massacre.
If you want a badass police station assault on Precinct 13 is super gnarly.
That's a whole movie. Yeah,
that's a whole movie though.
Yeah, and it's good to be clear.
Yeah, definitely. I would check out Assault on Precinct 13 over this movie if we're comparing movies.
Oh hell yeah!
watch the scene in Terminator 2 or Terminator Malignant and then Assault on Precinct 13. You basically get Maniac Cop.
We'll get like a super cut of police station massacres.
Do you remember Darkness Falls? I feel like there was one in there too.
Yes.
What's Darkness Falls? It sounds like a CW show.
Kind of was.
It very much was a CW style horror movie. It was a horror movie that came out in the early 2000s. In the same era, it's like after The Ring, after The Grudge, it's like, what we're doing is doing movies that what's scary is what you don't see. And the Darkness Falls was all about the, if I remember correctly, the Tooth Fairy was a, like,
what?
It was about like a ghost or a demon that attacked people at night, and like the Tooth Fairy did. And so when it goes all dark, it can get you. So you stay everywhere in light. Anyways.
Well, you know what? I was thinking right now, the sign of a great, great movie like Maniac Cop 2 is that now we've already talked about like four other movies.
Really
good sign.
Well, there's just not, aside from like
talking
the big,
about Darkness Falls.
Aside from like the big action scenes, there's just not much to this movie, really. Unfortunately,
it's weird because, you know, the tagline that you, when you pull this movie up anywhere, it talks about it's like Maniac Cop partners up with a serial killer. And you're like, okay, all right.
That happens in a scene.
In a way. And the serial killer isn't like what you like. When I saw that, I expected it to be like, oh, it's like a Jason serial killer. It's like a guy who's attacking people with chainsaw serial killer. Like, it's another absolute bananas person. But it's the stripper strangler who has strangled five strippers. And
he looks like Mick Foley.
He looks like Mick Foley. He does it with his bare hands. And he's not really like, he doesn't have enough like weird serial killer personality. Like, he's almost just like overly bubbly.
He's doing like kind of like a Manson sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. A little bit. Sure. Yeah. Okay.
You know what? Another thing about that, the serial killer, the stripper serial killer, is that there's something that happens to them like towards the end of the movie where he says like, I know what's in your mind, like the Maniac Cop 2. And so it implies like this magical connection.
Yeah.
Then they don't do anything else like magical. So it's, I don't know.
But again, you know what is nice? You know what is nice is that because of this supposed friendship, we do get the scene where he stabs Maniac Cop in the back and says, "You were never my friend."
never cared for me. You're not my friend. Go.
What if when, like, what if the stripper serial killer dies and he comes back as, like, another, like, he's brought back in the same way that Maniac Cop is brought back, and now they're both, like, two zombies at the end?
Well, that would be cool.
Like, at the end, a hand reaches up from the grave, and then, like, another hand reaches up from the grave, and they, like, they clasp each other, like, let's go, like, Predator.
It's like, why did we bury the stripper killer right next to this cop in this cop cemetery? That was an odd choice.
Isn't that so weird, too, that they're like, oh, you have to bury him with honors, and so they're like, we're burying him here next to the 19 police that he murdered?
Yeah, that was so bizarre.
Like, okay, it's not like he was a good cop, right? We all agree he was a bad cop. Who then got railroaded, apparently, for getting too close to the truth. But he wasn't a good cop in the first movie, and he certainly isn't a good cop now. He murdered 20 other cops.
He's like shambling zombie.
Maybe the thing was, maybe Davi was just covering his bases. Like, well, he'll probably rise from the dead again. We don't want to lie to him and say that we buried him in a cop cemetery when we didn't, so we might as well just bury him in a cop cemetery in case he comes back.
Okay,
it's
speaking of the cemetery, I have a question. There's Davi, like, they do this scene where he looks at other tombs and it plays creepy music. Why?
Well, like, specifically, he's hearing the nightstick swinging. Early in the movie, before Bruce Campbell gets killed, you see Maniac Cop walking down the street and flipping his nightstick around his hand, and it creates a whistling noise and then a click, like it's a click, click. And it's the sound of the nightstick.
So is he remembering
catching
all the cops that he killed? The Maniac Cop killed? Or
he thinks he hears it because his face is like, "What do I hear?" Like
exactly. Yeah,
yeah.
I thought they were going to do the Superman Batman thing where he hears like the heartbeat or something like that, but
well, yeah, the sound of Maniac Cop's heart is the swinging of a nightstick, and we do see he punches through and gets it.
So I will say, to talk about stuff that you do like, I do like those scenes where, like, that scene where it's just showing his hand and he's flipping the nightstick. That stuff is pretty creepy. I think, and you know what else? This movie almost starts out like very patient because the intro felt really long. Like it's just trailing through this police car graveyard. Mm-hmm. That was kind of cool. And so I was like, okay, this movie, is going to take its time a little bit more. But yeah, I mean, it's just some of the stuff just doesn't add up. But
it's kind of funny. Like, as you mentioned that, I'm thinking I just had a flash of the second Dirty Harry movie, Magnum Force. And for anyone listening that's unaware, the plot of that movie, the second Dirty Harry, is that there are bad cops, like traffic cops, who are like killing like high level, like, mobsters and this and that. What's great about that movie is that every time they kill someone, it's the whole setup is like a cop thing, a routine traffic stop or this or that, where it's like, oh, it's a cop. Like, all right, I'm going to pull over. Like, to a degree, you trust a cop to do a certain thing. You know what I mean? Like, you're getting pulled over. It's like, all right, I'll stop. He's going to come up. And it's there's tension there because, you get the scene that the guy's looking like in his side mirror as the cop walks up. You never see the cop's face and you just see the cop in the window. He does the little roll the window thing down. There's like a process to it, and it's tense because you're like, when's it going to happen? And there's like a scene in that movie where this pimp gives the guy, like, he tries to bribe the cop. And again, never see the cop's face. And then out of nowhere, the cop just does this motion, like he reaches for his gun and pulls and shoots the guy. And it's just the whole setup. There's more setup to it. With this, it's just like Maniac Cop appears. And like in certain scenes, there's mist for some reason, like in the convenience store. Like there's a bunch of mist around him. It's just like, I feel like they don't play enough.
It was the 90s. Yeah.
They don't play enough with the cop.
But the thing is, they did it in the first one.
Yeah.
Oh, a little bit. Yeah, so, that's true.
Two things.
And that's why it's like, okay, well, come on. I mean,
but that's like a fun angle that they need to do, I feel. If it's going to be centered around a cop being the bad guy, you need to kind of play with those cop tropes or, what have you.
Two things. That extended description of what happens in the second Dirty Harry movie really sapped my brain for a minute where I was like, what are we even talking about? And then it made me think, truly, how many times have we started talking about other movies instead of Maniac Cop 2? And how does that compare to most normal episodes of this show? Because it is wild that we constantly are, you know, we draw favorable comparisons to other movies, you know, and then go like, and then this does it way better. And it just goes, it all goes back to what Nick said, which is that this movie is half-baked in a lot of different ways. It doesn't seem to understand its thrust. It doesn't seem to understand where we want to be with the killer. It doesn't seem to understand, like, what kind of movie it wants to be, because it isn't a horror movie. It's just kind of a bloody action movie, vengeance movie.
But it's 88 minutes with credits.
And hey, we do love a tight under 90.
And I think we should mention something that we've all, I'm sure, been dancing around it at the end of the credits.
Yes, apparently the best part of the movie
was something that maybe I missed.
How'd you guys miss this?
Well, there's a lot of you guys just walked out to take a leak. I'm like, guys, you're missing the Maniac Cop rap.
I stuck around for it. And I was like,
it's pretty amazing. It's like crazy.
All right, okay. We'll have to drop Chad. Let's drop the Maniac Cop rap.
He's a maniac.
Drop a beat.
Yo, wait a minute. What's that? Something sneaking around the corner.
Here we come.
I think it's the maniac.
Sound, it means that the maniac cop's around. Once upon a time, he was a super cop, but the bad guys drank to make him stop. They put him in prison where they tried to kill him, but he broke out, now he's the villain. Bullets won't hurt him, I know it sounds like jive, but we're not sure if he's dead or alive.
Set him on fire, I shoot him with a Uzi, but he'll show up in your jacuzzi. You can run him over, you can feed him poison, push him out a window and it only annoys him. You better believe me if they think I'm lying. When he show up,
yeah,
people start dying. He's out for vengeance and he can't be stopped. That's why they call him the Maniac Cop.
You have the right to remain silent.
I guess other things that are cool. I'm kind of just looking at like poster art and stuff, and this is kind of a cool.
Yeah, of course the marketing's gonna be better. The movie wasn't that good. They needed to sell us.
Well, it's like it's one of those things where it's like this is one of those movies where it's like there's been so much
like
post promotional material, like Blu-rays coming out with like taglines like this movie is insane, you know, like it's this underground movie you never heard of, but it's so wild. So that in your mind that builds up this like reputation that this movie has, but then you watch it and it's so damn underwhelming.
Well, you know what, another interesting thing to me is that
that is a cool poster, Ren.
Yeah. Like, he's got like this giant sword. Like, ooh, is he a samurai?
It's basically,
too?
It does look like a samurai. It's the figure of Maniac Cop 2 in shadow standing over the skyline as if he's a kaiju, standing over the skyline of New York with like electricity.
He should have
that's what he killed
giant.
Bruce Campbell.
That's what could have happened in the movie. Yeah, that would have been really great. He could have turned into a kaiju.
That would have been cool. Yeah, he killed Bruce Campbell with that sword.
Oh, that's right.
But what's interesting to me about this movie is that it's actually the same director from the first one and the second one. So I'm not sure. Like,
same writer, too.
Yeah, so the team is there.
Less money, maybe?
Like I said, I think it bears mentioning, like, this got... Some critics were like, this is better. The director, Lustig, said he thinks this is his best movie that he's ever made, Maniac Cop.
So William Lustig made Maniac, Vigilante, Maniac Cop, Hit List, Relentless, Maniac Cop 2, Maniac Cop 3, Badge of Silence, The Expert, and Uncle Sam. You remember Uncle Sam? That was a classic.
That the one that had like that, like a hologram?
Yes.
VHS cover?
Was Uncle Sam, did you talk about this like some like Second Amendment movie that you watched?
No.
That was Molin Labe.
That was when we realized it was some propaganda crazy shit.
Yeah, it came in one of those like grab bags. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you don't know what you're getting. It's just like six random DVDs or something.
I want
that's
you.
That's when you got that great
dead.
Russian film.
Yes.
But that was another life. But I mean, Maniac Cop 2, like you said, you can really gauge the shittiness of the movie based on
how many other movies we're talking about.
We're talking about a propaganda documentary, Molin Labe. Yeah, That's how you know this movie's bad.
I think this movie fails on another level too, because it's almost not spectacularly bad. It's just kind of like lukewarm bad. Like it's because, I mean, it's not the worst movie I've ever seen, but it's just not, it's not so interesting. Like I said, I had a bit of fun with the first one.
There's outright terrible acting anywhere. It's just sort of just sort of meanders a little bit.
Did you all like the first one?
I did. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was like a fun B movie, like exactly what I would sign up for.
Sure.
Maniac Cop 1 is that. And I think it's cool. It has a cool mystery, it's got cool kills, it's got it's just a very complete movie, and it's breezy. Like, so you had mentioned that Maniac Cop 2 is like 88 minutes or something like that. Maniac Cop 1 I think is a shy shorter. And so if you're watching either, sign up for the first one, in my opinion. But
definitely.
Was this your pick, Dave?
No, quiet. It was not mine.
It was my pick because it was in that Fangoria book.
I'd
been meaning to watch it for a long time, which is why we watched Maniac Cop 1 a year ago, was because I was like, maybe I'll watch all of these, you know, and I just never got around to it. So I was happy
Do you think you're going to be checking out The Badge of Silence?
Oh, probably, you know, next year. you know,
my yearly tradition of knocking out the Maniac Cop.
Yeah.
The Maniac Cop franchise.
Yeah, you know, probably on January 9th, National Law Enforcement Appreciation Day, I'll check out Maniac Cop 3.
Jesus.
It looks like, I will say, I want to give Ryan a shout out because I think he has the best review of this movie. And it's,
that he scrawled on the bathroom wall after the movie.
Yeah,
yeah.
What where we like to call letterboxed the shitter
or apocalypse. Yeah,
it's not much. It's literally like just like let's just shorten that that last line and say just go ahead and ACAM. You know, all cops are maniacs.
That's good. That's good. That's genius. What I scrawled on the apocalypse was first in water, then in fire. What element will come for Maniac Cop next? Because in the first movie,
wind.
First he dies in water.
That's cool. That's cool. And I you're absolutely right. And I think it does do that. And I got to say, like I think I said it already. But the last scene, Maniac Cop catches on fire. But he's on fire for a while, and he's like attacking the other inmates while on fire, catches them on fire.
Yeah, that was enough. That was fun.
It looks gnarly, looks cool, like some cool close-ups of him on fire, and as far as I could tell, it was all real fire.
I think at the beginning, when he says that, all I could think of when his name, like, not Corden, what is it, Cordo?
Cordell.
Is that, right? I thought, it sounded like, because it was so high, it sounded like SpongeBob saying, water!
That's why you said water when this started.
Yeah.
I was wondering. Okay. Like, yeah,
I didn't know what that meant either.
Oh, okay.
Sure. I thought it was like, he's on fire, put him out. Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, I was just. That was his only
SpongeBob joke.
Okay. It was a SpongeBob joke. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Good episode.
Remember when we watched SpongeBob for the show?
To make this quick, was there anyone who would. Because I think I know the majority, but is there any one of us who would recommend this movie?
You can just insert a cricket sound effect here.
It's funny because I'm looking at the pictures and like I think there's some like I love that imagery of him backlit by the
look at the poster.
Think of a better movie in your mind.
I wish I watched the first one too because it sounds like it was good. But
I think that's to the point, Ryan, is that you're like looking at it and you're like this looks fun, and then you're like actually watching, and you're like. This isn't that fun, but you think it is. Your mind fills in the blanks, right? Because you're a human. You want to see patterns. You want to see something that makes sense to you. So you see cool imagery, and you're like, "Oh, this must be cool because look how cool this looks." And when it moves and it's not cool, it causes you to disappear into the void.
It's not the worst thing in the world.
No.
I think you're right. As humans, you know, we look up in the sky for patterns. We look down to the sky. Or we look down to Maniac Cop posters for patterns. Like, we're creatures of patterns.
Yeah. I probably wouldn't, but I'm excited. I someday I'll watch the first one. And maybe these movies work better, you know, with a group, with fun, you know, good times. And Maybe they don't work. Like, we all watched it, you know, separately in our own
cubicles,
closed off silo cubicles in the store, you know, so we couldn't.
Well, much like a record store, you know, we have the big screening room, but we also have these tiny little modules that you can go into, like record store.
They're
kind of
like you know, those porno booths, yep, or those, yep, yeah, exactly. Booths.
I thought it was weird that Dave wanted to install those, but I guess, you know,
yeah.
And it's weird that there's like a hole in the wall. I don't. Why is the hole there?
Yeah,
I don't know where he got all the beads.
You put the coins in, and the, yeah, the shutters comes down. You know, that kind of thing.
It's worth noting, yeah, we have rebuilt our adults only section, but unfortunately it's only filled with the Maniac Cop series.
Well, it looks like William Lustig that directed this, he definitely, like, there's a, on the chatterbox, there's a couple pornos on there, so.
I'm not surprised.
Really?
Hot Honey and The Violation of Claudia.
Jeez.
Hold on, was that one title? Because if it was one title, that's cool. But if it was two titles,
no,
I don't
there was two of them. The Violation.
It's like
of
Indiana
Claudia.
Jones, like Hot, yeah, Honey and the Hot Violation. Honey and the
Violation. Hot Honey and the Maniac Cop.
Well, that'll do it for this terrifying installment of the Apocalypse Video Show.
That was in the 70s. You got to pay the bills. Sorry.
Well, that'll do it for this installment of the Apocalypse Video Show. Spectacular. We'll be back next time. Until then, you have the right to remain silent forever.
And now, for the first time on any stage, the lovely Cheryl. Oh, let's have a big round of applause, boys. Come on, let's hear it for Cheryl. Her debut here in the big city at Club 69. Isn't she lovely? No one has ever had this girl on the stage before. We always are the first one with the best talent in New York. So just keep your eyes on Cheryl. Oh, boys, tell me, isn't she lovely? Just keep your eyes on her. Definitely get an eye for her. Whoa. God, this is gorgeous, boys. Be generous. Spread out that cash.